Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon. And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please, please just get on with the show. Yes.
Hello, and welcome back to How We Roll Podcast. We are playing through Curse of Strahd, and the characters have reached Barovia. I'm joined tonight, unfortunately, by only three players, as Aaron is still not with us. So tonight we have Owen playing Saf Thorngage, the halfling arcane trickster.
Douchebag.
Rogue.
Hello, guys.
Are you still masquerading as a bard, just to make sure? For
I used to have panpipes and masquerading as a bard, and now part magician, I guess?
Okay. And we've also got Dave, who's playing Ulrich, the Vengeance Paladin.
Hello.
I was going to say, waving doesn't work on a podcast.
Unless you like wave right in front of the microphone so fast that they can hear the noise. Yeah.
And that voice was Niall, who's playing Voron Ilar, the evocationist, is that right?
Yeah, that's the school that I've mastered in or chosen to be practicing in. I'm a level 3 wizard that is also a zombie.
Yes, and the dwarf is a skeleton.
So, on last week's episode, the party said goodbye to their companion Sulvarex, who left in search of, we don't know yet, we'll have to find out. And they journeyed into the mists. They came across an immense gate, seeming of ancient design, and when the dwarf looked at it, he saw that maybe it was created by some sort of draconic origin. Anyway, as they approached, the mighty gate swung open, letting them through, and as they passed through, the gate swung closed behind them. Saf decided to summon a familiar, and while that was happening, the other two smelt something dreadful off to the side of the road, and discovered the recently, or reasonably recently, deceased body of a commoner clutching a letter warning all who came towards Barovia to turn around and never come back. They also found that the commoner had been killed by a large wolf working alone who did not, for some reason, eat the corpse. I think they also were watched by a strange raven who, when blasted by Voron's firebolt, seemed undamaged, although very pissed off, and flew off into the mists. And just when we left it last time, they'd seen, as evening approached, a trail of white smoke in the distance, maybe a farmhouse, maybe a town, or maybe just a large campfire. Either way, they'd decided to try and disguise their zombie companion. He'd casted prestidigitation on himself to try and make him smell like roses, and I think that's where we start today's episode.
It is indeed. So after I've done this, I look over at Saf and like, hey, how do I smell? How do I smell? Smell me.
Smell my fingers. Owen.
Owen, my Owen, you're muted.
I've got a real bad case of like the Niles actually just clearing my throat and coughing. Oh, I can't. I don't know if I'm getting sick or what, but yeah, I keep muting myself, so that's gonna happen a lot tonight. Look, you smell. You definitely smell.
Like that's roses.
Sorry, guys.
Do I smell better than I smelled before?
Recently fertilized roses. You definitely smell of recently fertilized roses.
That's a start. Okay, well, let's go.
Are you going to cover up your kind of horrific visage, or are you going to just sort of go out rotting elf style?
Well, like, my face didn't get damaged and stuff. Like, so if I have clothes on, surely I just look like real pale and stuff.
But you got this, and I'm going to flick the intestine that's hanging out the side of his
stomach.
Well,
obviously, that's going to be fucking covered up. Like, I have a shirt that I put over it, and that's wrapped up in bandages, so, you know.
Okay.
I have a nice thin linen shirt that you can practically see through. How can anyone know what's happening down there?
Well, I'm not bleeding. I don't have a heart pump. I'm pumping hard, so blood's not going to be spurting out.
Can I have a rough marching order? So who's where? And are you just going around the sort of road ahead?
Well, I'm still sort of I'm riding the riding boar, and pulling the cart. So I don't know where these two decide to be in relation to that, but
I'm just going to potter the carriage.
I was going to potter along beside, kind of, but I guess I'll sit up in the carriage beside Niall. Vorin.
Carriage is probably a grand word for what you've managed to scavenge from the stable.
It's a pig and trap, isn't it?
It really is. Well, no, it's a wagon. It's got four wheels.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm sitting up at the front of that. I still feel pretty regal.
You're an elf. You always feel regal.
Even if I'm a fucking zombie. And yeah, smell like
regal
shit.
Pain in the ass.
Okay, as you come around a curve in the road, you see, through the trees, a tall campfire flickering between two arched wagons. Through the encroaching gloom, you see a group. Two men lounge about talking. Another strums a lute, while another taps a small drum idly against his leg, while another is pitching a tent between two trees. They're still about, I don't know, 50 feet away?
Okay, what's an arched wagon?
It's a covered wagon.
Yeah, like a gypsy wagon.
Oh, okay.
But it's not made, it's not covered, it's not like the pilgrims, it's not canvas, it's wood.
Yeah, it's a caravan. It's almost like...
Pilgrims used ships.
We found some tinkers.
He didn't mean the pilgrims, he meant the Oregon Trail type people.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what they're called.
Okay, so they're covered... They're
pilgrims
used
ships.
They could be Mormon pilgrims.
Yeah, you could be wrong though.
Okay, so they're covered wagons. Do they seem armed?
One of them was playing.
Two men lounging about talking. So both of them are armed. So rapiers and daggers. The guy strumming a lute. You can't see what he's holding other than the lute. Same with the guy with the drum because they're both sat down. The guy pitching a tent has a large crossbow on the floor next to him, and also has a rapier.
How are they dressed?
Extravagantly, but mainly when you sort of look closer, mainly in reds and blacks.
I mean, would we have knowledge of things like tinkers and or travelers of various different types, or
they're probably not that unusual, sort of traveling, tinkers and travelers are it's not too uncommon in the realms. You've never seen people with the dressed like this before.
They're all human?
They are all human, yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to sort of turn around in the saddle and just talk to Voron and Saf. Shall we approach these people, trying to figure out where we are?
I guess so. I mean, they're... Go on, then, sorry.
As long as they're not, you know, hostile to strangers, like, that's a big crossbow over there. I don't want that being shot at me. Maybe
yes,
hail because... Gunfire. I mean...
because crossbows don't work at range. Jeez.
In that case, I'm going to just hang my Warhammer and my shield off the saddle bow and knock the heavy crossbow I'm carrying before we approach.
So are you climbing off the wagon and off the boar, or are you sort of riding towards their camp?
Well, we'll ride towards slowly. We'll all stay on the wagon anyway.
The camp's slightly away from the road, so I suspect it will be slow going once you sort of leave the bank, really.
That's all right. As long as we don't appear hostile, I'm pretty okay with it.
Yeah, just a heavily armed dwarf on a great big boar, with a heavy crossbow cradled in his arms. Not aggressive at all.
Go on.
As I see, what is your name? Ulrich, notch his bolt into the crossbow. Can I just put my hand on his shoulder, kind of to signal, just to stop the boar. And can I pop what I'm now going to call Moldy, my little toad friend, back into existence?
Moldy.
Yeah, it kind of silently screams in your palm as it comes back into existence.
I'm going to slide off the car, like, lay him on the ground in the direction of the camp and kind of give him a gentle nudge and see if he can drag his broken hind legs and his body into into hearing distance, maybe a better... Did you say he's lost both his eyes or one eye?
Both of his eyes, but he does somehow seem to be able to see.
Okay, cool. I'm going to have him drag himself into kind of a closer distance to get a better view and see if I can hear anything, because as part of finding familiar, I can hear and see what he sees.
Okay, I mean, normally you're only 50 feet away. You would be really obvious to them, but the mists are sort of wrapping themselves around you, and the vision of the camp is momentarily obscured as the fog sort of floats in front of you, and then they reappear for a moment. So actually, they've not noticed you, so... You place Moldy onto the floor and it lands with a thump, and you're sure that the thump says, "Kill me!" kind of begins to hop off.
No, isn't he cute? Look at him, guys. Look at him go. I'm Moldy, okay. I believe in you. Do it for Daddy.
The two that are nearest you are sort of setting up a tent, and they're by another fire. There's two fires actually, and they're sort of talking softly to themselves.
Can I hear anything?
Yeah, the first one's going, "Hey, Bogan, who gets to go first tonight?" And the second one goes, "Well, if we're quick, we could sneak in now. What do you think?" "Oh, bloody hell, Alex, come in this way." And then the larger man, one of the guys that was sat sort of chatting, sort of looks over and goes, "You two finished with that tent yet? Come on, we need you." The first two swear and then get up and move towards the main part of the camp in the large fire.
So as this is happening, let's assume that kind of like the three of us are hunched, like Dave or Ulrich is on the boar kind of leaning back because I'm about to kind of whisper something. Voran comes in closer and I'm basically conveying what the guys have said. And at the end of it, kind of, "Okay, guys, I don't know what, but they're going to get something. I think we've walked onto the film set of a Guy Ritchie movie, judging by their accents." these guys... they're talking about getting a first go on something. I mean, they don't seem like great dudes. And I just saw them walking away towards one of the tents, Joe, was it?
So there's just one tent which they've just finished setting up.
So whatever they were going to go to try and get to first is in that tent. I don't know what you want to do, guys. Should we just go in and see what's in there? Or do you want me to see if I can find out myself?
Send Moldy.
With Moldy, yeah.
With Moldy, yeah.
Can I... Oh, yeah, I've moved my... So just to be clear, find familiar acts independently to me. So can I do a spell and then move Moldy? Because I'm thinking I can use prestigination to quench the campfire and then try and get him into the tent a little easier.
I think Moldy is such a small toad that you won't need to quench the campfire. And actually, a toad hopping around a forest, even one as horrible as Moldy, is probably not going to cause too many issues. Although quenching a large campfire may do.
Okay, that's cool. He's going to just slide or scrape his way in there, whatever way he moves around the place.
Drag.
Yeah.
Okay, so the tent itself has one large bed, like a camp bed set up, like wolf skins, looks really, really comfortable, like loads of pillows, but other than that, there's nothing there.
You reckon they wanted to go at each other?
It's better than the alternative that I thought of, which would...
I'm assuming that you've relayed this to your companion.
Yeah, I have. Sorry, let's just assume that I'm whispering everything that I can see as I go.
Okay.
Send Moldy in further.
That's strange, yeah. Can I... Let's leave Moldy like in the back corner there, chilling out.
I'm going to roll a perception check for these guys now, because you're kind of not that far away. No, you're fine. They don't see shit.
Now, at this point,
I am having system overload. You got too many systems in my head at the moment. There is no aim in D&D, right?
No.
Correct.
Can I like reserve an action to as soon as one of them notices us? Like, I just want to be following one of them around with the crossbow, just ready to fire if anything kicks off.
If they get hostile, yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, I don't know what I could do. I mean, I'm a real nice guy, and they look like they might have some real nice food. I could go up and talk to them, and you guys just cover me? This is a terrible idea.
The scent of roasting lamb begins to waft over on the
beach. I think it's a really good idea, guys. I think it's a really, really good idea.
I'm all on board with the staff. We should totally do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
At this point, I just want to... I did unhitch. Sorry. I should name my boar. What should my boar's name be?
Can you make him Warty? Because I was thinking that was going to be my toad's name.
Morty.
Can we make it Warty?
No. Warty. Warthog? Yeah, okay. Warty.
Warty. We gotta go, Warty. We made a mistake. We made a terrible mistake.
Made a mistake.
It's a pig. It doesn't talk.
I gotta see season 3.
I don't know what
you're I've not seen any of it yet.
Anyway, carrying on. Just to be ready.
Okay. As you step from the trees, one of the men gives a shout.
Whoa.
No?
I have a whole thing. This is not your average entrance.
Oh, dear God. I'll get a soundtrack ready for it.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to basically walk towards the camp, not trying to look like I'm sneaking up, but definitely trying to keep the tent between me and them till the last moment, and then just kind of jump out with sparks from precision going, "Hey guys, it's me!" Little business card materializes in my head in precision. Saftor Engage, Bard Extraordinaire, Magician, do weddings, bar mitzvahs. What's up? Oh, you're some musicians, I see. Pick up my pan pipes. Just seeming like a real nice, kind of like, definitely not threatening, but annoying bird. Just.
Okay, so as you sort of jump out, before you can draw breath, they've all got their hands to their weapons and the music immediately stops. The sudden stillness after the music and chatter is actually quite unnerving. However, as soon as you reveal yourself to be a bard, they all kind of relax, smiles cross their faces, and the handsome man with the lute, he has a black beard and a silver earring, takes a step forward. Obviously relaxed, hand off his sword, and he's laughing. A bard! And he kind of makes to put his hands over your shoulders. Might I offer you a drink? Come join us.
I occasionally have one drink. I could have a drink. Have you any elderberry wine?
Wine, the finest wine available for you. Barovia was good to us. We have a lot of wine.
And he sort of calls over to his friend,
"Hey Oleg, get us some of that wine."
And the one of the people who was setting up the tent disappears into the wagon with a scowl.
The tent that Moldy was just in.
It was the one of the people that was setting up the tent, but the man disappears into one of the covered wagons.
Oh, into one of the covered wagons. Okay.
Aha. Uh-huh.
He points, so while Oleg's going to get the wine, this guy is called Alec. He points to the back of a wagon and says,
"We have a water barrel over there. If you want to wash your face, wash the dust from your clothes, then come and join us by the fire."
One of them's obviously okay. Australian.
Is he Bogan?
Yeah. Yeah, basically take him up and his offer to wash my face. But as I'm doing that, can I basically maneuver... what's Tony's name? Moldy? To follow Oleg at the same time.
Okay. Oleg is just... He's gone into one of the wagons. It's got like 3 steps going up. I think...
Oh, my broken hind legs might be an issue. This is what Tony can't jump, I assume.
What are the other two guys? What are you doing? So you're kind of off
Did we see them greet Saf?
Yes.
Personally?
Yeah. Again, there's sort of like mist is sort of flowing through the forest, sort of often obscuring your view. But currently, you can just about see what's going on.
Well, I don't eat and I don't drink and I don't trust these guys, so I'm still just sort of with untiring undead arms, still just following around with the sights on my crossbow, whichever one happens to be the best target of opportunity.
I guess your muscles don't really ache, do they?
Muscles? Untired. What muscles?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm gonna start like washing my face. It's like, so you guys, are you like, what are you doing here? I mean, you seem like you're in the middle of nowhere. Lovely little campfires up, lovely caravans. Where are you headed? Where are you coming from, friends?
So you kind of like wash the dust from your face and your hands, and you stroll back to the fire. And Alex sort of says, "Later, let me introduce you to our family over there." And he points to two men, probably about 20, both with scruffy beards. Anton here, best singer, other than myself, of course. That man there is Bogan. He plays the lute. Oleg does the pipes. And he drums a bit too. And they both smile at you. And Oleg sort of bangs his drum a little bit in kind of to let you know that he is also a bard. And then he points to another man who's now sat down by the fire sharpening a large sword. That's Tim. He keeps us from falling into danger on the road. And that's everyone. And who are you, my fine fellow?
Joe just rolled 19. I don't like that.
So, I'm Saf, as I said, Saf Thorngage, bard extraordinaire, come from Waterdeep. I came from over that way through the big gate. Do you guys know anything about that big gate? Stop what I'm saying out loud, and as I'm pointing, where I can hopefully see Niall and the guys.
Yeah, so I've just rolled a 19 on perception. So as you kind of point towards the big gate, the sort of fog drifts aside, revealing the angry dwarven suit of armour clutching a crossbow pointed directly at them.
So can I not, as I was pointing, use my whisper spell, which is, or message spell, sorry, whatever it is. There was a one time I thought I could use it, but it was one.
So they've passed their perception. So immediately everyone kind of jumps to their feet. Alec's got his sword in hand, pointing at you. "Oh, you didn't say you had companions." And he shouts out, "You there! Come over to the fire where we can see you."
I mean, I just told you I came from the gate with those guys. That's where I'm pointing. That's what I'm talking about.
I'll hop down off the wagon and walk over cautiously.
How far away are they?
50 feet.
I'll just use my knees to guide Murphy a bit closer.
Morty. Warty.
Warty a bit closer. About 15 feet closer.
So they all seem on edge, like, I guess because you're holding weapons as well.
I'm not. I'm just like walking with my quarterstaff. Kind of like a walking stick. It's not much.
Guys, look, can we all just get along? This is my my bodyguard for gigs. I should point to Voron for that.
I can be your manager.
And Ulrich is a fabulous singer.
A very sort of crackling, dry laugh comes out of the face mask of the
okay
helmet.
Can you give me a deception check?
Oh yes, this is something I am very skilled in, surprisingly. I get to roll something. My deception is an expertise and proficiency plus 7.
Oh, he's gonna get like 8.
I got 17. Fuck you.
Okay, they seem still wary, but swords are put away.
Okay, what unusual bodyguards you have. Anyway, while you're at our fire, you're our guests. Ask us anything and we'll provide.
Can I have some lamb, please?
Well, Of course, although you don't want to get ill eating it now. Is there anything you wish before we start supper?
I'm fine. I guess I'll sort of lower the crossbow, return my warhammer to my belt and dismount. Sort of walk forward.
Do you have any fresh clothes I could maybe buy off you or that you could give me?
Of course, as I said, Barovia was very good to us. One of the other guys, you think he was called Anton, approaches with three huge mugs of ale. We stole this from Barovia 2 days ago. It's really good. I think it was their best. Drink yourself down. I'll see if I can get you some clothes.
I'll sort of look out. I'll take it in one hand and sort of look at it. And you just see my shoulders slump. But when I hear the word steal, I sort of look up and just ask him, like, who did you steal this from?
From the inn. It's a horrible little place, although they are well supplied by the wizards of the wine winery. And this is their best ale. We got 2 barrels and many other things as well. And I'll just go and get you your clothes. And he gets up from the fire.
I kind of, at Wizards of the Wine, my ears kind of perk, and I'm kind of like, I ask one of the other travelers, you know, is there a place with wizards around here, or is that just a name for the winery?
Barovia is a strange place, but yes, there is quite a way away. 10, 15 miles, is it, Oleg? Oh, I'm not really sure. Well, it's a ways down the road anyway. It's a winery run by a family of wizards. They supply wine, ale, and in fact food to most of the Valley of Barovia, what I understand.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Where did you guys come from? You just came to play music and steal beer?
Well, it's a long story. We've probably got time. Let's wait till after dinner and we'll tell us our history. How's the road been treating you of late?
Not so well, I'm afraid.
We've had a few issues along our travels, but
we hit a dead end or two.
We were on our way back to Waterdeep, but we ended up here on a road we don't know. Do you know the way to Waterdeep from here, or are you familiar with it?
Give me an insight check as you say that.
Insight. 20. Ah, crit. 22.
Okay, they as you say that, they all kind of like smirk as if they're sharing an inside joke.
Waterdeep's a fair way from here. I'm not even sure if you can easily get there. Musician, Saf, you said your name was. Why don't you favour us with a song while Anton there's finishing dinner?
I'll try. I'm very exhausted from my travels. As you can see,
it's very awful.
It's very misty, and my panpipes are rather rusty, but I should try.
For people who are listening to the podcast, he has just picked up a tin whistle.
Yes, it seems to be in tune. Let's give it one of these. This is one from a few years back, you might know. One second. Sorry, it's too hard to hear laughing. Oh, you saw Dave's face. I gotta turn off the screen. One second. Sorry. It's the wine and the smell of the lamb is distracting. 1 second. Oh my god, this actually might be out of tune.
You're blowing too hard.
That's the opening few notes of a little tune I'm writing.
Oh, dear God!
They all give you an appreciative round of applause.
As he's doing that, I'll just sort of grumble, I need a leak. And I'll try and sort of stomp off into the woods a bit, but I'll try and angle so I get a look into the entrance of one of the covered wagons. Probably not the other one. Not the one that the beer has come out of.
Okay, so you pass by. You kind of glance in, and like dwarves can already see in the dark, but as a skeleton you found that that ability has been enhanced, and it looks like there are possibly two figures asleep on, so there's, it's really crowded inside, sort of cupboards on sort of high up on the wall on both sides. At the back there's like a chest of drawers, maybe even what looks could be like a little cooker, and to the left and right are bunk beds. Mm-hmm. And on the bottom bunk beds on both sides, there seems to be two sleeping figures, one dark-haired and one curly blonde-haired, but they don't seem to be moving.
Male, female?
You're guessing female. But again, you only see the tops of their heads.
Right. Okay, so I'll pretend to take a leak and then I'll head back. Can I draw Saf to one side? So
the lamb's being served at this point, so it tastes, for anyone who can taste it, so Saf, it tastes amazing. Niall, Voron, as you eat it, it doesn't sate your hunger at all, and in fact you start feeling worse. Whereas the others are kind of like relaxing around.
I want to whisper to Saf to send Moldy next to the covered wagon. Where I saw the two people hiding. The two people sleeping, rather.
Okay, that's definitely doable.
And I'll basically do that. I'll hop him along right on over there.
Hop so is a strong word.
As you're doing this, you as Moldy kind of like stumbles painfully out of the first wagon and across the forest floor. Alec turns to you and goes,
"Well, we've drank our full, we've eaten good food, and you asked us where we came from. Well, I'll tell you."
He fills his mouth with wine and then spits into the fire.
I hope this is a musical number. Please let him do song and dance.
The flames turn from orange to green. As they dance and sway, a dark shape appears in the bonfire's core.
"We come from an ancient land whose name is long forgotten, a land of kings. Our enemies forced us from our homes, and now we all wander lost roads."
The dark shape in the fire takes the form of a man being knocked from his horse, a spear piercing his side.
"One night, a wounded soldier staggered into our camp and collapsed. We nursed his terrible injury and quenched his thirst in wine. When I say we, you understand, I mean my family. We are all Vistani. He survived, and when we asked him who he was, he wouldn't say. All he wanted was to return home, but we were deep in the land of his enemies. We took him as one of our own and followed him back towards his homeland. His enemies hunted him. They said he was a prince, yet we didn't give him up. Even when their assassins fell upon us like wolves."
Deep in the bonfire, you see the dark figure standing with swords drawn, fighting off a host of shadowy shapes.
"This man of royal blood fought to protect us as we protected him, and we bore him safely to his home, and he thanked us. He said, I owe you my life. Stay as long as you wish. Leave when you choose, and know that you will always be safe here."
The figure in the dancing fire vanquishes its final foe, then disperses in a cloud of smoke and embers. And Alec's face becomes a somber mask.
"A curse has befallen our noble prince, turning him into a tyrant. We alone have the power to leave his domain. We've travelled far and wide to find heroes such as yourselves to end our dreadlord's curse and put his troubled soul to rest. If you carry on to Barovia, maybe you can help him."
Give me an insight check, all of you.
I mean, good. Guys, buddy, the business card I gave you didn't say hero.
I got a 20.
I got a 13.
With a insight, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
Minus one to the roll. I got a 6.
My rolls are okay. On fire today.
So Ulrich and Saf, like, you are like really stirred up by this story, almost as if it has a magical power to make you feel like heroes, like you feel finally you've got a cause. Voron, as you listen to the story and you listen to him say heroes and the idea of saving the Dreadlord, you feel that there is some form of deception here. You feel that he definitely wants you to travel to Barovia, he definitely wants you to meet this lord, whoever he is, but you're not sure if he really wants you to save him. There's definitely some ulterior motive in what he's saying.
And I'm kind of... I ask him, you said that you have the ability to leave when you want. Could we?
Oh, yes.
Could we not leave if we wanted?
The mists will stop you. Hang on. The first guy who you spoke to, the one that got the ale for you.
Oh, like that.
I've got a potion you can buy. It's difficult to brew, but it allows you to travel through the mists unharmed. Very, very difficult to make, though. I couldn't let it go for a cheap price.
Can I see this potion?
Yes, it's just in the wagon. Meanwhile, Moldy, the toad, has made it into the second wagon, where he has found two girls, probably about 15, maybe 16, tied up.
Fuck's sake.
Anyway, there's the story. Tim, why don't you bring them out? You know, the... And he gives Tim a wink. And Tim stands and, like, presses his hand to his stomach. I'll do it in a minute. I'll be right back. And he turns off into the woods. Since Tim's busy painting a tree, I'll go get them. Oleg says with, like, thinly veiled eagerness, and he disappears into the wagon that Moldy's just hopped into. Right now, only you know what Moldy's seen, Saf.
So we're currently... There's only two of them with us.
Tim's gone for a piss.
Other guy's gone to get the potion, and the other guy...
Yeah,
is
so it leaves wagon. Three left.
No, there's still
Just before anything happens, describe exactly what Moldy saw. You just kind of ran through it. The two of them are both tied.
Moldy's seen two girls awake, terrified, tied hand and feet in the wagon.
So like hog tied on beds as opposed to strapped to the beds, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. And when Moldy sees all this, does he hear anything? Does Oleg say anything as he's walking around in there to them or anything? No.
So Moldy saw that as Oleg like pushes himself up at his feet.
Okay. Boom. At this point,
have you communicated that to us yet, Seth?
Bear with me. Can I discreetly point at Ulrich? Probably the wrong person to say this to. And basically cast... So basically my hands are by my side. Let's say we're sitting down around the fire eating our lamb. And as I'm eating the lamb with my hands, I have one finger... Like, I'm holding it like you would a spare rib between two hands. But one of my fingers happens to be pointing at Ulrich. As part of message, that's what I need to do to cast it. Can I kind of whisper behind the lamb, essentially? I'm just kind of whispering, saying, you know, there's two... scared looking girls in that wagon tied up that don't want to be there.
Okay, can you give me a stealth check?
Is it not part of whisper that nobody can hear that? Or stealth to see if... I get you. Can I do sleight of hand?
No, it's a stealth check, but I'll let you do it with advantage because I think the way you've described it made it sound...
So, roll advantage for stealth, you're saying?
Yeah.
2d20 plus 5. I rolled a 12 and a 10.
Okay, let's just see if Alec notices.
Nope.
He rolls a 3.
For once.
So you've made him aware.
Okay.
And the Vistani, the red Vistani, because they are dressed mainly in red and black, don't seem to have noticed you.
As can I essentially, can I attempt to do the same again to Voran? Yeah, I find that like as I've done the message to Ulrich, you can also, as part of the spell, just so Dave and I know, you can actually reply back in the same whisper.
Okay.
So you'll get one kind of return message if you want to. So as part of that message, I've said what I said to Dave, and also just, you know, I'm going to let Voran know. Hang tough, essentially, and kind of just, as Ulrich, I assume, is kind of chatting and acting natural, I kind of give him a subtle nod. And then I do the same as I go for my second bite of lamb and try and get Ulrich. Rolled another 10. Motherfucker.
God.
Not for Ulrich, sorry, for Voran.
Okay, no, you get to roll with advantage.
Cool. I got a 16 on the second one.
Okay, let's see if Alec notices. He gets a 7.
You would have passed on both of them.
Okay, how are these? So these, I see three of them next to the fire. There's the guy with the, who looks like he's got a dagger and a hand crossbow.
So they've all. I mean, don't worry too much about the figures themselves. Mm. So they're all got rapiers and daggers.
Rapiers and daggers. Okay, in that case, I just kind of say that I need to paint a tree as well, as you put it so kindly. And I'll get up, sort of take my shield off its strap, and sort of, you know, shake myself off, pick the shield up, and just walk behind.
So the wagon that the girls are in is the one to the south by all the horses, so it's here.
The one to the south, that's fine.
There.
Okay. And I just walk behind these two, pull out my hammer, and just bring it down on his head from behind. I already know they're thieves, and now they're thieves and kidnappers. That's all I need.
Okay, so this is the surprise round, so do you want to do your attack?
I roll a 23.
23 is a hit.
Ah, it's not a crit. My Warhammer does 6 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay, so you've hit Anton for 6 points, and now can everyone please roll me initiative?
Dex, motherfucker. I rolled a 5.
Did Dave just get us all killed?
Oh no, that was exactly what I wanted. Well, not exactly what I wanted to happen, but more or less.
There we go.
It was either you hold them and ask them what's happening, and we have a fight, or you get the hits in first. That's not a terrible call.
How the hell?
That's at least.
Did I?
That's at least more murder hovering.
20. Well, I'm a vengeance paladin, and now I think these people are kidnappers and thieves.
I got 21.
I got 20.
I got 5.
Okay, and
plus 3.
Got.
What? Oh my god, Joe, what is wrong with this? This is the karma from, like, how well you rolled the last time you played.
Yeah. Okay, so Anton staggers to his knees, the skeletal dwarf standing right behind him. Immediately, the other two Vistani around the fire jump up, trying to draw their blades. And from the distance, you see Tim running, still probably, like, sort of trousers half round, trying to do them up. And there's no sign of Oleg yet in the wagon. So it is Voron, you are first.
So I immediately cast this.
Thunderwave, amazing. Okay, because like to your right and left. To your left is the Vistani, who's just been knocked to his knees. To your right is Alec himself.
So Ulrich and Saf are safe from this because of my evocation mastery.
Oh, thank God.
Amen.
So I'm basically blasting the three guys around me away. So they both have to make a constitution saving throw.
Okay, so let me just enable the grid. There we go.
Oh, wow, even the other guy gets hit too. Wait, from me, do I hit the horses?
So what's the range?
15 feet.
Okay, so yeah, it's gonna knock all the wagons, all the tents. Actually, Oleg's inside the wagon, so you're not sure entirely what he's up to. So it is gonna knock the wagon. I'm gonna do first constitution stage. What's the DC?
Do I get the horses?
I was gonna say you get the guy pissing as well.
Fucking hell! I'm just making wreck of this whole capsize. The DC is constitution.
Oh, it's so good.
What do I need to roll against?
13, I think.
You say 13,
yeah.
I see. So, Alec, first of all, fails. 14 for Anton. He's the one on his knees.
He still takes half damage, though.
Borgen fails. Tim, who's running towards you, fails.
He goes back to the biggest mountain for trees this time.
Okay, the wagon itself, all the wagons themselves are kind of rocked as this kind of wave of thunder, this enormous sonic wave bursts out in all directions. The two tents near you are kind of torn from the ground and sort of sail off into the woods. The wagons themselves rock but aren't knocked over. All of the horses, all six of them, sort of rip from their bridles, how they've been hitched anyway.
Their stake point. They would have been staked to the ground.
And gallop off into the woods, disappearing. only one saves. Can you do me damage?
Yeah, so that'll be...
You don't need to roll it loads of times.
2d8 thunder damage and they all get pushed 10 feet.
Okay.
2d8. Here we go. 10 damage. And then the guy who saves takes half damage, so...
Yeah, 5. Yeah, okay, so... They're all looking...
10 feet away from me.
Wow, okay, so I'll do it on the map. So there, as the tents kind of like fly in all directions, so do the Vistani, flying into trees, rolling sort of head over heels in different directions.
Didn't that do their save?
Sorry?
If he saved, he doesn't move.
He doesn't move. Okay, so there we go.
Is that the guy closest to Dave, is it?
Yeah, it's the guy that he belted around the head.
Perfect. So
that was super effective.
Perfect.
Okay, so next in round we have
David Ulrich.
I bring my hammer back round for a backhanded blow against the guy in the black cloak again,
Anton.
For a crit, which is now how do crits work again?
So you roll for damage twice.
So that is 8 and 8, so 16 damage.
16, wow. Okay, he is barely standing. Way, way more than bloodied, as I guess you sort of clout it around the back of the head with your...
I was going to say, if I clouted him around the back of the head with the Warhammer, he'd be dead. But yeah, solid body blow with the flat of the hammer.
So, next in round is Saf.
Okay, so at this point, we're saying the trailer to the immediate south has Oleg.
Yes.
And the girls, isn't it? And can I see into that at the moment, or is it closed, or what's the story after the rocking
it's
around?
Its side is facing you.
Aha. Okay, I'm going to move. I'm going to move to, like... Are we saying this is the door, actually?
No, so the door's at the front. Oh, actually, no, it probably wouldn't be, would it? It'd be at the back, because the front would be where you'd hitch the horses. Yeah, so the door's at the back. Yeah,
okay, so if I move to here, can I see in?
Yes.
I'm going to cast Mage Hand 30 feet away, which is inside in the trailer, essentially, the caravan.
Mm-hmm.
Near the... let's say the curly, the darker girl, and as a cunning action, I can control the hand as a rogue.
Okay.
So can I try to untie her?
So what you see is that Oleg is trying to untie the blonde-haired one, and you think he's probably going to try and use her as a hostage. I'm going to say you can definitely untie the other one.
Okay, cool. I'm going to do.
I will say this though, the hand materializes in front of you, and rather being so, when it's described in this book as like, you know, ye useful hand for all capable wizards and witches, that's all spelt wrong with like E's on the end. it describes it as a hand, you know, usually exactly the same as the wizard's hand itself. What forms before you is a skeletal hand, a ghostly skeletal hand.
Like one of these? For those in the podcast, I'm just waving my hand in front.
Okay, that's cool. That's better than my tiny little halfling hands. I imagine a bow and hand would be better for punching people in the dick with if I need to. I'm going to just start untying her her bonds, I guess. That's it.
Okay, so do you want to give me a quick sleight of hand?
I do indeed. This is also expertise.
I do love how our highest damage dealer just hates dealing damage.
I deal all of the damage. This lady is going to be a wizard. Watch, save us all. Better than another wizard guy.
Hey.
I rolled a 13.
Okay, so you've untied her bonds, and the Vistani go next. Okay, so straight facing Ulrich, Anton spins round and stabs his dagger towards your belly. He rolls very badly. You easily parry his blow.
No, I think the blow just sort of sinks through plates but misses all bone. And he just looks at the dagger in my stomach, looks up at me, and I just sort of, you can just sort of tilt my helmet forward so he can see the hole through the eye gaps where there should be eyes looking back at him. All he sees is the absence, the emptiness.
And a shitload of teeth in the grill of the
just
the helmet.
A big bony grin.
Okay, so Borgen, who had been, or Bogan, who had been like blown backwards by the thunder wave almost to the road, is now clutching his heavy crossbow and he's firing directly at Voron.
I thought his crossbow was on the ground, not with him.
That was a different guy's crossbow.
All right.
DM screen.
So he rolls a 5, so the bolt passes harmlessly above your head. It's not even close. Not even close.
He's still kind of shocked.
I was going to say, these guys must be shitting themselves.
Alec draws his rapier and charges towards Ulrich's back, leaping over a pile of kind of like ale barrels, and launches himself towards you. He rolls,
I think it's a hit.
15 plus 4.
Oh, just. It's a hit.
It's a hit, so 19 to hit, and he does 9 points of damage.
What kind of damage does a rapier do to a skeleton?
Oh yeah.
Good question.
You're resistant to piercing. It's half damage,
like,
I think.
He like, no, he's not in this thing. So he like, he pokes directly through your like helmet visor straight into your eye, and it seems to kind of like rip away some of the necromantic energy which is holding your bones together, and you feel like a bit unstable, almost like whatever is powering you has just been disrupted.
Okay, I like that. Cool.
There you go. That's what he hits.
I can roll with that. I can roll with sort of, yeah.
And Tim, wielding his he actually had a heavy longsword, charges towards Saf, and he seems to be very competent with his sword. He gets plus 5 to hit, so he gets 17.
Bye-bye,
Sal. Oh, no.
Time for
Sal
to die.
Oh, no. AC of
14.
Okay.
Why, Yada? He rolls 1. So cool. So you kind of, like, duck, but he does still clip you, leaving a sort of horrible, you know, still a painful hit across you, so it's 4 points of damage total.
Can we make it a sexy scar across my eye?
Sure.
Cool. Look at me. I'm a Disney character.
You are so a dirty, dirty Disney character.
So I'm
hang on, it's not over yet. So, and Oleg comes out of the wagon, and he's got like his arm round the neck of this blonde-haired girl, sort of holding her between you and him, and he's got like a dagger to her throat. Stop fighting now, or the girl gets it. And top of the round, we're with Voron.
I misty step on top of this wagon here.
So is that the wagon that's right next to you, or is it the wagon that the...
The one that had the girls in it.
To the south.
So that's fantastic. So you're like behind him, so he's got his back to you.
Yeah, and I am going to...
How does your misty step look? It's the first time you've used it.
Dildos. Sorry, I didn't know about a joke and just remembering what we said about all his spells.
It's kind of like a green kind of like where I was, basically the outline would be like a green kind of fog just kind of sweeps down on the ground and spreads out and I'm gone, and it's like a foul smell is left behind too, like rotting flesh.
And penises.
It's, it's great Voron. In a combat situation.
Oh, Devoron.
When you're trying to stealth, when you're trying to stealth around the place, not super effective, friend.
No.
Okay, so you misty step's only a bonus action, so you still have movement and an action.
So I don't particularly want to stop fighting, so I'm going to cast Scorching Ray on Tim. I think, is this Antoine?
Yeah.
And who's this guy here then?
That's Alec.
Alec. Tim, Antoine, and Alec are going to get a Scorching Ray fired up.
So just to remind you of what's happened is Oleg's just come out, so he's right in front of you. You've kind of like appeared behind him, and he's holding a dagger to the girl's throat, saying to everyone, "Stop fighting."
Actually, no. If I'm behind him, he doesn't know where I am. So I'm actually going to I'm going to leave Antoine because he's already pretty messed up, and I'm going to shoot one at Oleg's back.
Okay.
So that is I'll have to do 3 ranged attacks to hit. That's 1d20 plus 5. That's a 24. That one is on Oleg. A 16 on Tim. And an 8 on, what's his name? Alec?
Alec. Yeah. So Alec isn't hit, but the other two are.
Sweet. So that is 2d8 damage. If I'm not mistaken. Let's see. On hit, 2d6 damage. That is 11. Is that 11 on both, or will I roll separately?
I think because it's 2 separate rays, we'll roll separately. So 11 on Oleg, because you said him first.
Yep, and then an 8 on Tim.
Okay, so Tim seems to be incredibly tough. Despite the fact he's been damaged twice, he just doesn't seem bothered by it at all. Oleg, however, is really struggling, and he goes to stab the girl in the neck with the dagger. But before he does... Ulrich.
In combat, how would an intimidation roll work?
What are you trying to do?
Essentially, I want to kill the elderly gentleman with the black cape standing in front of me, who I've already bashed a few times. And then I just want to point my warhammer at the guy threatening the girl, and promise him a slow and painful death if she's harmed.
Oh, I like it. So we'll see how it works out. So do your attack on Anton first.
Okay, I continue wailing with my warhammer at what's his name?
Anton.
Anton. And I roll an 18.
That's a hit.
Anton's dead.
Doing 11 points of bludgeoning damage.
Anton is dead as you cave in his skull.
It's just slowly turning again, just looking down and exposing the empty chasms where eyes should be. A dark, rattling voice just comes out from it. It's like, "If you don't release her, I swear an oath of vengeance against you."
Solid German accent there, Dave.
Can you give me your intimidation check?
Nineteen.
Nice.
Okay, he looks genuinely terrified. Absolutely terrified. In fact, you think he might have just wet his breeches. As a dark spot appears. Saf.
Okay. So two questions. First one. my cunning action is disengage. I assume that's just like the 5-foot step from all D&D, yeah? Mm-hmm.
I believe so, yeah.
I couldn't find it in the book anywhere, so I'm just going to take it as that. Let's put that. So I'm going to disengage from the guy who's just stabbed me or nicked me across my sexy ice scar. Second question. Oleg, or every man's name is?
The one attacking you is
Tim. His base... Yes, I know. Oleg is 5 feet from Niall, but Niall's about 5 feet in the air on a wagon. Counts as surprise attack, I assume?
I would normally I would say no, but because he's just been blasted by
he's turned to face Niall, let's say, is it?
He's within 5 foot and Niall has engaged him in combat, so Vorin has engaged in combat, so yes, it counts as your sneak attack.
I will draw my bow off my back and basically just try to drill him with a bolt. Not a bolt, sorry, with
okay,
a bolt. So it's my bow and arrow.
Okay, let's see if you can kill him.
So I have a D20 plus 5. I roll a crit and I have sneak attack.
Yes.
I'm going to do so much damage.
Oh my god.
So I'm almost certain that sneak attack damage isn't doubled. It's just the weapon attack damaged.
100% it isn't, yeah. I agree with that. Oh my god. So I get 1d6 for my bow, which is doubled. So that's 2d6 for my bow. And I get another 2d6 for my sneak attack. So I get 4d6.
4d6 damage.
Oh
plus,
my god.
Plus 3 for your dex.
Plus 3, yes.
I want to see this damage. Oh, 19. Oh.
19!
Oh, 2 sixes in that roll.
Two sixes, a 1 and a 3.
Holy shit. So your bolt takes him right in the eye. His head flicks back and he drops the ground, revealing the dark-haired girl who you'd freed, who is actually behind him, just about to stab him with a stolen weapon. And she kind of looks stunned as he, like, drops in front of her.
These are monster 10-foot tall ladies. Yeah. Why are we fighting anyway?
Amazonians or something like that.
It's to do with the way Roll20 works, so they kind of match, because I've just put the grid on. They match the grid, if that makes sense, so I actually can't make her smaller without changing the grid size.
That's fine. Okay. Yeah, with that, I am going to also move, if you don't mind. Because I haven't moved yet.
Yeah.
And I am going to run, essentially, beside this lady and right under Niall.
You're running.
So you
right
will provoke attacks of opportunity from Alec and Tim if you do that.
No, this guy's dead.
No, he's not.
He's not. It was the guy in the middle that was dead.
Oh, sorry. Do you remove the guy who was dead?
He's
sorry.
The one that stabbed me. The guy that stabbed me. I don't know why I say gentleman.
Jumped.
The one that stabbed me in the eye socket.
The asshole.
Is still about. It was the one that I bludgeoned in the back of the head and then just carried on wailing on.
Sorry, ignore that. I forgot there was two guys flanking you and because Joe removed one. I just thought that this was a dead body. So, yeah, I'm going to keep chilling.
Okay, so...
Their turn.
Bogan is going to fire his crossbow again at Voron, who's on top of the wagon.
Does he not have to take a round to reload?
Yes, he does, because it's a heavy crossbow.
Boom.
So he is going to charge forwards.
I don't want to take damage.
And he steps forward and luckily finds another crossbow on the floor. That and
here's what I made earlier.
You were lame, Joe. You were lame. He misses.
Is 11 a hit?
It's not. I have AC 12.
No. So he again terribly, terribly misses. Right. So the bandits, the Vistani, seem to have something like around pack tactics because they seemed now they've completely surrounded you, Ulrich. Their blows seem to be extremely deadly. So they are rolling with advantage. So, first of all, Alec thrusts his longsword towards you again.
Rapier
again, and he gets a 15 to hit.
To fail. Glances
so
off my shield.
Easily blocked. Tim swings his... Now, he does have a longsword towards you. Oh, hang on. I'm rolling with advantage. So, Alec again with his second shot. Gets a 7. No, he doesn't. He gets a 5, so he definitely misses. Tim swings his longsword at you. First go 19, second go 20. So he definitely hits. So he does 9 points of damage to you, further disrupting the necromantic energy that's powering your horrible existence. And the two girls are going to run into the woods.
Good luck, ladies.
That's gratitude for you.
We're heroes.
Yeah, right? Fucking assholes.
As they knock trees out of their way with their 10-foot-tall bodies.
It won't be hard to find. Just follow the, so we follow have, the trail of devastation.
Voron.
Alright, well,
Voron's character looks like
he looks like a caveman.
Michael J. Fox in the Teen Wolf movie.
I'm going to cast Magic Missile.
Cool. Who are you aiming for?
I'm aiming for Tim, because even from the fire, he seemed like the most dangerous one. So they automatically hit, and I'm going to hit him with all of the missiles. So that's three missiles that are going to deal D4 plus 1, is it? Force damage?
Yeah, so it's 3D4 plus 3.
And I do 10 damage to Tim.
Nice. Okay, he does seem slightly staggered by it, but when he regains his composure, you see that he's still really not that damaged at all. And he's ready to battle on. Uruk, you are flanked. One in front, one behind.
Is he muted?
No, I'm here. I have new shit to do. I hold up the bracer on my sword arm, and mutter holy words of invocation in conjunction with it, and cast Bane on the three remaining enemies that are engaging us. Up to three creatures of my choice that I can see must make a charisma saving throws. Whenever a target fails this saving throw, this saving throw and makes an attack or a saving throw before the spell ends, the target must roll a d4 and subtract the number rolled from the attack or saving throw.
So it just makes them harder to hit, yep. And harder to save versus spells.
All okay. Three must make charisma saving throws.
And what's your DC?
What would be my DC? My DC is my...
8 plus 2 plus your charisma bonus.
Okay, so 10 plus... So 12. That's not great.
Okay, so Alex.
That's not
a bad
one. That's what most of them are.
Gets a 3, so he fails. Tim gets an 11, so he fails. And Borgen gets a 1, so he fails. So they're all going to be struggling to.
Finally getting to do
hit.
Paladin-y shit. As the fear of my vengeance sinks into their very bones.
Sam.
Okay, so. So Bane gives me rolls with advantage against them as well, Dave? No?
No. Well, if you do anything that requires a saving throw,
Dave
subtract D4.
Where's the grease when you need the grease? The beauty of not having a crossbow. I am going to take another arrow from my quiver and fire at. This dick, I think, is Tim, who jumped over the ale barrels, is it?
No, that's not Tim. Tim's the swordsman.
That's Alec.
Alec.
They should...
He's still a dick, though. I'm right on the dick thing, right?
Yeah.
They're all dicks. They're kidnappers. Great.
They're all dicks. Okay, just so we're clear. So 1d5 again. I rolled a 7.
Ah, oh, fuck's sake,
someone. So that's a definite miss.
Oh, boy. As a cutting action... Can I move my mage hand and just see if he can pickpocket this dude? I can move it 30 feet. He's got anything of value. Fuck it, might as well use
it. Undo his belt.
No, is it an expensive looking belt?
Well, his pants might fall down again.
I'll stick with basically just fucking rummage in his pocket, see if I can get anything off him. Why not?
He's gonna feel that and be like, what the fuck is going on?
So yeah. Who are you doing it to? So tell me again what you're doing.
So, about... My hand essentially is just chilling inside in the caravan where the two ladies, who completely abandoned us and in no way helped the bitches, he's still in there chilling out. And he's going to run to... This guy's actually Tim, who's the other side of Dave. And not try and pickpocket him, but grab him by the ankle so he can't move much. Try and encumber him any way he can from attacking Dave. How's that?
Okay, so Mage Hand itself is probably too insubstantial to be able to trip him, but if you wanted to, like someone said, like undo his belt or tie his shoelaces together, like I think that's definitely reasonable. Although I'm not sure.
Can I crawl up his ass?
Up and, okay, easy. It is bony, but not a boner. Can it run up his body? Think of like Thing in the Addams Family and just like run around his head and be distracting.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I think that's a good idea. So, Alec is going to launch his attack at Ulrik again. He rolls with advantage, and he gets a 5 and an 8, so he definitely
fails. So even before
Tim, who's being distracted by a ghostly apparition, I'm going to let him make a save with advantage to see if he can ignore it.
Yeah,
okay, so he rolled a 12. So he's managed to ignore the Mage Hand. He's going to launch an attack again.
Nope, that's a saving throw. Minus 1d4.
Okay, so he fails it. He's due to the Bane spell. So he doesn't get to roll with advantage to attack Ulrik, and he gets a 17,
which is a miss anyway. But it would be minus 1d4,
which is a miss. Well. Okay. Bogan has decided that there's no more freshly loaded crossbows anywhere in sight.
He has decided, because he's omnipotent, he can bring them into being.
And
fight's too easy.
He's decided that since there are no freshly loaded crossbows in sight, and his Vistani friends, or Red Vistani friends, are losing, he's going to disappear, so he's going to do a full run action back the way that you came.
Fucking coward.
Okay.
So he is basically by your cart now. And it's top of the round.
That's back to me, is it?
Yes, it is.
Hmm. Did he look bloodied at all, or was he just, like, fresh?
No, he hadn't taken any damage since your Thunderwave.
Alright. I see how surrounded Ulrik is, so I decide to cast another Thunderwave to knock those guys away from him. Ideally not towards Saf, but, you know, you take what you get. So, once again, two Constitution saving throws. Minus 1d4 on each.
Okay, so Alec.
Minus 4.
16. Minus 1d4.
Oh, okay.
1, 15. So Alec's unaffected. Tim. 15 minus 2, so 13.
That's a save.
So it's a pass, I'm afraid. Okay. So they both pass, so half damage.
So that's 1d8 each.
I was going to say, roll 2d8 and half it. That's still a
roll 2d8 and half it, yeah.
And that's the... Math, man! Math!
Oh, God.
4 damage. Okay, so the thunderous wave sort of launches out in all directions. It seems a lot less powerful than your last one, and you do feel the wagon underneath your feet kind of like creak for a moment. And you do wonder if you would have fallen through if your spell had been more powerful.
I guess there's advantages to all of this, right?
Yeah. Ulrik, your go.
I swing at Tim initially with a 20, which I assume is a hit, doing 13 bludgeoning damage, and further channel my holy rage through my hammer, doing an additional 10 damage, so 23 damage to Timmy boy.
Okay.
There.
Wow. Okay, so you have killed Tim.
All right, Tim, fuck off.
Pretty much.
Timmy, no mates.
Oh, shit, you know what I should have done? I should have casted grease underneath the other guy that's running away.
Again, Looney Tunes. He tries to run.
What was his name?
Owen, so Saf.
Saf.
There is in the distance a Vistani running down the road, and Alec is facing off against all three of you.
I'd love to hit the guy running down the road with a crossbow, but I'm going to hit the guy who's like 7 feet away from me with an arrow, hopefully. And I rolled a 19 to hit.
That is definitely a hit.
And I am going to do 3d6 with my sneak attack. Plus 3. I did 16 damage. Get wrecked, Alec.
Okay. He is still standing. Let me just check. Yeah, he's still standing. Just though. Waver on his feet, blood on his lips. And he stares directly at you, delivering this almost death blow, and he goes, "The curse of Vistani is upon you. From now on, all fire, blood." And then he like coughs and blood sprays out. "All fire will be your enemy." And you feel this like prickle all over your body, like this kind of strange, horrible heat. And I need you to make a charisma saving throw. No, sorry, a wisdom saving throw, please.
Oh, you motherfucker. That's for all of us?
No, just you.
Oh, no, I have a minus one. Charisma, plus 5 to saving throws. Wisdom, minus 1. Oh, Lord.
I believe in you, Owen. I believe in you. Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah, I rolled a 6, which makes it 5 total.
Okay, and with that, Alec drops the floor.
As he's dying, can I just, I know, technically, let's say combat's over. Can I just shout at him, "I am the master of fire, precision, quench the campfire, just a really..." Fuck you, buddy.
Okay, aww. So combat is over, and I think no, that is a very long episode, so we're gonna leave it there. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's extra extended episode. Before we go, we'd like to thank all of our Patreons. Your donations keep the show going, and we really appreciate your support. We'd also like to thank Amanda Wallace this week for your kind donation through PayPal. If you would like to support the show, the best ways are to share us with a friend, write us a review on iTunes, or even make a donation through PayPal or our Patreon at www.patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. If you have any questions, comments, criticisms, or suggestions, you can contact us through our Twitter at HWR Podcast, our subreddit, or our Facebook page. Before we go, I'd like to thank Anubis Summer again for running the discussion thread on our Reddit page, and we'd also like to say a huge thank you to BattleBards and Saranscape for your generous use of your music and sound effects, and everybody should definitely check them out. That's all from us. See you next time.